All right, moving on to agenda item number three, report and possible discussion on pension advisory report by the Bogdan Group by Richard Holden.
And I just want to start off a little bit on the, before Richard gets started. Because the plan, the last meeting was on June 13th, there were two resolutions, balancing of $600,000 and then also the investment in the LBC partner. Both of those, just the paperwork to get everything done, did not get into the June 30th report that Richard's reported, but you'll see that in the September report. Just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, Richard.
Yep, thank you. On page one of the report, from year-to-date basis, we started with $19.9 million. No contributions coming in, distributions of $900,000 some odd. Fees and expenses were less than, and these are fees and expenses that are cash going out of the plan, not the fees and expenses that would be associated with the investment managers of mutual fund, because those are returns you get are net of fees. So we don't see those in the reconciliation of the cash in the plan itself. Somewhat less, it was negative, but less than $100,000 or $10,000. The income of about $30,000 in asset appreciation of $300,000 asset appreciation of $600,000. So we wound up with 19.8. The plan actually grew from the income and from asset appreciation, and then the benefits that were paid out brought it slightly down. The standpoint of the overall objectives of the plan, the total fund for the quarter was up 3.4%, slightly below the benchmark. And year to date, 4.7, slightly below the benchmark. 1 year, flat. 3 years, 4.4%, and 5 years, 5.1%, below the benchmark of 6.1. And as we know, there are two primary causes from that. One is our allocation to energy infrastructure, which had a horrible about 18 months last year and shortly into this year. And the other is the underperformance compared to the benchmark of the equity managers, and primarily from the standpoint of the BBH Core Select portfolio. They tend to run in and out of favor. This, for the last 3 years, they've been somewhat out of favor. The prior 3 years, they were definitely in favor. Over 10 years, which we don't have that information because they haven't been with us that long, but I went back and looked at it, and over 10 years, they outperformed the benchmark by more than 1%. So over a long period of time, that's on a net basis, over longer periods of time, they have added value. And depending where you are in the market cycle, they tend to be in and out of favor.
What have they done since the first of the year?
Since the first of the year.
I didn't look at the report, obviously. I'm I thought you would know that, Richard.
On a year-to-date basis, they're up 3%, which put them very close to first quartile, but slightly below 3.8% for the S&P
500. Okay, that's good enough. Thank you.
The domestic equity managers, like, it did exceed the benchmark for the year-to-date as a group, but not for the quarter and trailing 12 months. The international equity manager fell short of their benchmark for the quarter and the year. However, longer periods of time, they have exceeded the benchmark. The energy infrastructure MLPs had a very, very good recovery, if you will, here over the last 4 to 5 months, exceeding the benchmark for the quarter, but hurt the total fund performance for the trailing 12-month time frame. The fixed income return did exceed the benchmark for the quarter and for the past 3 and 5 years, slightly below for the one-year, two-year timeframe, as we've had a big drop, if you will, in interest rates over that timeframe, which puts yields extraordinarily low in fixed income right now. And quite frankly, I find that that's the risk reward in fixed income right now is exceedingly shifted towards the risk side of the spectrum versus the reward that can come out of there. We did, at the last meeting, take steps to try and alleviate part of that problem by getting into direct credit lending. And as David said, the paperwork for that it has now been completed. I believe their next close is going to occur in September, and hopefully we'll have some money invested with them at that particular point in time.
What was that initial deposit with them?
Well, our commitment is 1.5 million.
Do we don't know how much they
will? We won't know. It'll all be divvied up among the commitments that they have at that point in time with the investments that they've made. So we'll just be a portion of whatever that happens to be. It is a three-year program, and in general, they've been fairly close to a third, a third, a third investing. So I'd say we should look at, on average, about $500,000 a year being invested.
Richard, how long have you all been handling this for the BRA?
It's been now 6.5 years. Or is it 5.5? 5.5 years. 5.5 years. Because we just had the renewal last November. The REITs have added significant performance over the last 4 years. It's been a very, if you will, consistent return portion to the plan versus the up and down of the overall equity market itself. There's a lot of income being generated through the REIT portfolio also. From the standpoint of the goal of return net of fees, exceeding the return of 6.5% for the five-year period, it's below, and as I said earlier, that's primarily due to the energy infrastructure. And also the equity managers in the fund. Goal number two, to be in the top half of other public plans, and it was a below median return primarily because of what I said earlier about the energy infrastructure and the equity managers. I think that's going to, you know, come up as we move forward. Energy seems to be at least stabilizing. There has been, over the market, not a real diminution, if you will, in the transportation of energy through the MLP structure. And because of that, people are beginning to realize that they're not going away. And if they're not going away and continue to produce that income stream, I think we're going to see the recovery back to where they should be. We're in the, by the way, we are in the index from the standpoint of our MLPs, which is the market itself. And the market's not going away. Individual companies within there may go away, but they will be replaced by other entities. So we don't have individual company risk, thank you. asset allocation. As David said earlier, part of our rebalancing that was approved at the last meeting actually occurred right in the month of January or July versus June, so you don't really see it here. We have pulled down the overall target to equity. Their assets have come down somewhat. And in the fixed income area, the assets have gone up. Any questions on asset allocation? I did put in here the fee structure. I think that's, you know, and David had said earlier about the normal fees that are going on. From the standpoint of the entire retirement trust, at the end of December, there was an average fee of $171,000 a year. From the standpoint of the current structure, it is somewhat less at $164,000 a year. And that includes all of the investment managers and every thing that goes into the overall fee structure for the trust.
Richard?
Yes.
How do you all monitor the asset allocation? In other words, do you all have a program that tells you we're out, under? How do you keep up with that?
Well, yeah, every when we do the quarterly report, we have all of the information, and there's a page, quite frankly, that comes up and says, here's your target, and here's what you're over under. And we try then to bring things back into the range of the target area and to keep them from, you know, breaking the overall parameters that have been established in that asset allocation. Sometimes, you know, there are reasons to have a little bit overweight or underweight in certain areas. But in general, we definitely try to be close to target.
Richard, on the fee schedule again, is there justification in your mind for why, in this case, PIMCO is charging 1.63% versus, you know, comparatively speaking, everyone else is so much less?
Well, PIMCO is a quote-unquote opportunity fund. It is a limited partnership, just as the fund that the LBC Credit Partners that we have gone into. And the fees in those areas, because of the way in which that portfolio is structured, tend to be higher. Their net return over time tends to be significantly better than the overall marketplace. And hopefully, and you know, knock on wood, that what we're paying for is increased return, and hopefully that's what we're going to get. And so far, on a since inception basis, we have definitely received that.
And the question is not meant to suggest that we need to choose based on the lowest fee schedule. It's just when you just scan down that column, it kind of jumps out on you versus some of the other numbers.
Yes, it does. And LBC is going to jump out also when we start putting them in there.
Gotcha.
Richard, it looks like the MLPs have, you're doubling down has helped pay a little bit. However,
well,
let me ask this question. We what did we actually invest in those MLPs? Was it $1 million and $1 million? Or was it $1.5 million and $1 million? Where's our basis in it?
Right off, I can't tell you that exactly what it was. But when we went in, we had we put about 10% in, which was what, $2 million. It went down, and within because of rebalancing, which we were just talking about, when we look at our overall targets, we put some.
We put more money in,
which has proven to be beneficial.
Well, it just lowers our cost averaging. It just makes the loss look better by investing more in it. That's the way.
Well, actually, we've had gains in that area.
That's true. What I want to point out, and what we have to consider, is the investment we made, the cash investment we made. What was that basis, and are we still about 5% short of what we've invested?
Well, I can tell you the return in that area over the last 3 years has been a negative 5.8%, and for the last year a negative 16, and it was twice that.
Well, you've got our balance on page, on your page, let's see here, I've got to highlight it. On page 8, excuse me, I'm sorry, page 6 and 7. See, a December 15th balance was almost $1.7 million, a little over $1.7 million. Is that right? $1.709 million total MLPs.
You had an...
Okay, I'm just looking at the gross market value. And then in June, we saw it increase to $1,000,009. So we increased it almost $200,000 this first 6 months. My question is, on how much of an investment?
You mean on how much that we put in there?
What is our basis?
Well, if I could remember what it was that we put in the last time when we rebalanced, then we would know what that basis is. And I do not remember what that particular amount was. I think it was something like $300,000.
So about $2.3 million, you think?
Yeah.
So we're still about 5%. Well, that's about double what 5%, but we've had it for more than 1 year, so.
Let me see. I think I may have some.
Because you have to go to, what I like to always do on these deals is you can get lost in your return, and it's really, you need to look at your total overall return. You following me, Leroy? Mm-hmm. You've got to look at your total overall return, because you can get placated with some, you know, period returns. But if you're still trying to get back to where you're even, then you just want to monitor that, because then when you get past that, then the total return goes up based upon your investment.
Well, yeah, and if, once we get back to positive in that area, we will have, you know, achieved what you're talking about. So on an ongoing basis, you know, we're really trying to maintain our overall risk posture by keeping our allocation in line. And so effectively, if MLPs are low, and we believe they do have the potential for returns similar to what they've had in the past, then we should rebalance and put some money in the MLP space by taking away money from areas that have overachieved at that particular point in time. And so effectively, by doing that, your overall volatility comes down, but your overall return goes up. We have, I mean, yes, you are correct. MLPs have had, you know, negative return over the last year, and that has come down from what it was last quarter for a 12-month time frame.
We've improved it.
Peter, what I'm seeing you ask, this shows MLPs $1,007,000 now. Am I on the same page with you?
That was December.
$1,007,000 in December, and it's now $1,009,000.
Yeah, $1,007,000. But your question is how much hard dollars have we put in it? Exactly. That I think is about $2.3 million.
$2.3 million. Okay. So we're talking about $400,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So our overall return's still negative. We've known that.
Right. Right.
Which is, I mean, and really in a way that 2.3, 2.4, you know, kind of calibrates with the fact that we're down 16%.
Doesn't your question revert back to this column still? Yeah. I mean, you stated here that the return is still negative, and that's what you're just pointing that number out in a different.
I just wanted to see the dollars. I want to know what the dollars are, and is that 5.4% return?
No,
an annualized negative return. Right?
Point four the MLPs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really very. Which one are you looking at? Oh, that's an allocation over under.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's your allocation.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, if you look at the asset allocation, we're 0.4 down in MLPs.
Yeah.
That's target, though.
That's just target.
Yeah, and that's just asset allocation.
Right. We're up large cap, so all things being equal, we should be selling large cap and buying MLPs.
However, Leroy, is the 0.4 under based upon market value or based upon our investment?
Well, it's on market value, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Which would say to me, maybe be careful, because you could be over all of a sudden.
Well, of course, that's the problem with this. I mean, any day, we can go in and rebalance our accounts any day, they're out of whack. I mean, that's just part of it. I told David earlier, we went through this with a client, and selling stuff that had done good and buying stuff that had done bad. And he says, you're cutting the flowers and buying the weeds, and that's what we're doing.
But the principle here, Leroy, is just because your allocation's not where you want it, you don't just keep putting money in the hole.
Well, yeah, you do, too.
No, you don't either. If I'm not saying we... I'm saying this, that you have to monitor that and measure that along with it.
Well, and that's where I asked the question on the tolerance here. I mean, we have a certain tolerance in our portfolios. We'll let them grow, and Sal does too. I mean, it might be a 10% tolerance or whatever, but when that triggers, we start saying, okay, what do we do now? Go ahead. I'm just.
But that's different. That's a different issue altogether. Asset allocation is one thing. Our return on our investment is another.
They're tied together.
Well, they are, but they're two separate components and attributes of our investment.
And yes, there are times when one of the asset classes has negative returns, but we didn't go into it because we expected that to occur. And since our thought process is that it belongs in the asset allocation going forward, then we should really rebalance into it because by doing that, we're actually buying low.
Right. You're buying what?
Low.
Buying low.
We're selling high, buying low. You know, I mean, it's a hard thing to do when you say, oh man, I'm losing money here. Why do I want to put more money, as you say, down a rat hole or whatever? You're not.
Yeah, well, the principle is there. I was pointing out
You're just suggesting to monitor.
I am always for making your profit when you buy something. I understand that very well. That's when you make your profits. You got to be in it at the right basis. But Richard, what I'm trying to point out to this committee is you better keep up with the basis also. You can't just watch the allocation number percentage, and you can't just watch the return percentage because they won't tell the truth at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they won't tell the truth. You got to watch your investment basis as well.
Marty, well, I think at the end of the day, they do tell the truth because once you're in, you've got that positive return, then you have covered your basis. Otherwise, if you don't have the positive return, you're going to be negative. If you get into the positive return area, you will have covered your basis. The question is, in getting into that positive return area, have you actually put additional money in when it was down? Then you've got a compounding effect that you don't see, and you actually have more.
Yeah. All right, let's continue on then.
You're like an old turkey farm, they had inners and outers. I mean, you had so much in, so much out.
Well, whatever left let me
over,
say this.
That's it.
We can be real smart about a lot of this stuff, but if we don't make our goals, we got to do something differently.
Right.
Noted. Yep.
On page 8, we have the overall performance from the various areas of asset allocation. As I said earlier, the overall trust was short of the expected return for the full five-year time frame on a net basis. Had a 5.1%. Versus the overall policy of 6.2 and the actuarial assumed rate of return of 6.5. On a gross basis, and quite frankly, because most of your accounts here are on a net return basis, you don't see the full impact of that. It really is over that 6.2% return and very close up to the overall public plan median because, you know, when you compare one plan to another, there are many, many plans out there that pay their fees external to the trust. And to capture that, you then say, okay, we need to talk about gross returns when we compare ourselves to another plan. Unfortunately, your number is understated here. It really is higher than that particular number.
But I heard you say this is net.
This number we're looking at. You have the net on the very top line, and the next line is gross, but that gross is not 13 basis points higher than the net. It really should be almost a percent higher than that net. because all of your manager fees that are running, you know, 1%, 1.7%, all of that should have gone into the grossing up that number, which is something I'm trying to work on with the performance people to develop a an algorithm to put you know, money back in from the standpoint of the underlying fees that were paid out, so you do get a gross number that makes sense when you're comparing to somebody else's gross number. Total equity for the 5 years, 5.7 versus 7.8%, did underperform. The first part of that underperformance was the prior allocation to BlackRock. Initially, BBH did well for us, and the last 2.5 years, that's not the case. They have underperformed the overall market, which has brought down our total equity return. I do expect, however, for that to recover. Like I said, they move through cycles depending on what's going in the marketplace. And you can see on a year-to-date basis, our overall net return has has been higher than the market. And the one-year base is pretty much in line with it. Domestic equity, which we talked about earlier, has underperformed more recently. Year to date, above average, and quite frankly, 3.6% being in the first quartile from the standpoint of other total domestic equity programs. International equity, since inception, has been in the first quartile, 3.5%. Almost 1% over the market and above the market from the standpoint of the latest 5 years at 0.74. And you, as you probably know, the strength of the dollar over that 5 year time frame has been just phenomenal. More recently, it's kind of just sitting there, but we did go through a strength of the dollar problem with the international market, both from the standpoint of equity and fixed income. Total fixed income. Our fixed income program has been doing very, very well. So over the last 5 years at 3.8%, almost 1% above the Barclays Intermediate Aggregate. And in the first quartile over the last 3 years with 3.6% return also. 1 year, 3.7. So very stable in that fixed income area. MLPs, this is the problem space. I mean, it was like baby bath water. The commodity went down, so MLPs sold off in concert with it. This hadn't really occurred in the past. It was a, you know, somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction. I think that's correcting itself on a year-to-date basis, and we now have a 16% return out of MLPs, far and away higher than any other of the asset classes, but still has not caught up over the trailing 12-month basis, which is still a negative 16% return over that time frame. Real estate, said earlier, has been a very good performing asset class for the fund, 13.4% for the trailing 3 years, near first quartile performance in real estate, 21.3% for the last year, and 13.1% since we moved into that allocation space. So it's been very, very good return for the plan over that time frame. Any questions on the asset class returns?
What did you move into the real estate? What did you move out of?
Primarily, we moved out of fixed income. It's about 2/3 fixed income, 1/3 equity, I believe, is what we did. And we're one of the things we really looked at and continue to look at is the income that's produced out of real estate as being somewhat of an alternative to the fixed income area also, because it's producing income in excess right now of the bond market itself. On page 9, the latest quarter, because of our MLP area, we're up there in the second percentile, which is a tremendous return for the quarter and fiscal year to date. If we can just hold that, the actuary ought to be happy for the trailing 1 year anyway.
Yeah.
9.2%. 1 year, like I said, that was flat, and we saw that earlier, basically 0%. 2 years, slightly negative, and we talked about the 3, 4, 5 year time frame earlier. One thing I really wanted to point out on this page, though, is that that fiscal year return and the impact, if you will, of the MLPs to the latest 6 months return to the plan. Any questions on performance? The rest of this is really detail on some of the managers and whatever that we've already talked about. If you'd like, I can go through it, or I can answer questions.
Any questions?
David, our distribution on the plan is $1.4 million, and that's what our beneficiaries receive? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yeah, a little
our payout of the plan is in it about $1.4 million a year?
As far as two participants?
Yeah.
I think it's about.
Yeah, a little over $100,000 a month.
Yeah,
that's going to say about $100,000 a month.
Yeah. And so if we have $20 million, 6%, we're still going underwater.
Right.
Principal.
What do you mean 6%? Return?
Well, we've got $20 million invested roughly, and it earned 6%. That's $1.2 million, and we're going to spend $1.4 million. Going back to your money on money.
Yeah.
So we need 8%, Richard.
Well, we're trying to exceed that, you know, and quite frankly, I think when we move through the market cycle, that's going to happen. It's just that at certain points in time, ups and downs. You know, this latest month has been phenomenal, or the latest 6 weeks have just been phenomenal in the market. Whether it's going to hang in there or not, I don't know. It's climbing a wall of worry.
There's a lot of comment about it being overpriced. Something's going to have to give.
Yeah, well, the thing, what's really interesting is in 1999, I remember when we were, you know, we just busted through some of those numbers in various areas of the market. There was a lot of overheating, and I mean, it had just boomed through, and growth was at its peak, that people were buying stocks on anticipated revenues and not on earnings. And then 2000 came along and boom, down. And, we worked through it. But the thing is, if that does happen, then the disciplined thing to do is to readjust your allocation back to targets.
All right. Anything else on agenda item number 3?